Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. This is a special episode that we're doing. Today, we're going to pay tribute to Alex Ah Young, the chef owner of Fat Eatery. He died last week at the age of 52 after a battle with cancer. And I had a different topic scheduled for today, and I've moved them to a couple of weeks from now. And instead, I've invited several friends of Alex's to just come on. We're going to talk about him for a little bit and just share some memories because of the incredible impact that he had on the culinary community. And the suddenness of his passing just has everybody in a state of shock. So this may be a very different episode. If you never went to Fat Eatery, if you never met Chef Alex, I understand this may not be the episode for you. I'll see you next week. No hard feelings. But I do recognize that I'm part of a community, and that community is grieving. And so I did want to give people an opportunity to share some memories of someone that we all held in immense respect. So just going to call on people as we kind of want to take this. Terry Wong, you're one of the owners of Blood Brothers Barbecue. You knew Alex pretty well. So why don't you kick us off? Maybe just tell us Tell me what your friendship was like with Alex and kind of what he meant to you.
My friendship goes back a long way, back to about approximately 1995, 1996, a long, long time ago. A dear friend to myself, I met him back when he had a place called Hocus Pocus, one of his early businesses, and hung out with him in Chinatown quite a bit for a lot of years until he kind of dove into a lot of people don't know that he had some a number of other restaurant concepts long before Fat Eatery, which, you know, he learned a lot from those other concepts and really worked his butt off. So I'd love to tell everybody how hard he worked, what a great guy he was. I can really only explain him by saying that he was one of the few people that never had anything negative to say about anybody at any time. He was always positive and always uplifting to everybody around him. So that's the thing that I remember most about him, and I want everybody to realize that he was a great man, great husband, great friend, all the above.
You mentioned Hocus Pocus. Yeah. That was a cartooner shop. I mean, that was long before he was in the restaurant business, long before you were in the restaurant business.
Long before,
And you know, the two of you have kind of come up in this world together. You know, I know he was involved with another Malaysian restaurant kind of before he opened Fat Eatery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did you think when he told you, you know, I'm getting back in the game and I'm not going to Chinatown, I'm going to Katy? What did you?
That's a great question, because he told me about his idea about doing that, and this was almost exactly at the same time that Robbie Kui and myself were entertaining the idea to do Blood Brothers in Bel Air. Almost around that same time is when that whole Katy Asia Town was kind of an idea at that point. And I remember it very vividly. He was like, you know, what do you think? You know, do you think I'm making the right move? And I told him, honestly, I was like, you for sure are making the right move. And I know that you're going to crush it. And like, just don't even give it a second thought. And obviously, he did well. He did more than well. He excelled. And, you know, everybody over here will probably agree with me. This restaurant game, beverage game, food beverage game is extremely difficult. You can't do it by yourself. It takes a huge team behind you. And he was also the first to say that his team is the sole reason for his success. So.
Stevie Vu, I want to bring you in. You're the director of operations for The Asia Society Texas. You're also one of the founders of Chowdown in Chinatown, the very popular Facebook group. I think one of the things about Alex that I always admired is that he was constantly advocating not just for his own restaurant, but for other restaurants. So maybe speak to that aspect of his personality or kind of what you'll remember about him.
Yes, definitely. And I gotta do a shout out to Terry as being the other co-founder for Chowdown on that one as well. So but yes, with Alex, I mean, we've all grown up together over the years. I'm a few years shy from Terry in those days. I was the little kid that used to follow them all around back then. And seeing everyone go through the different phases into what you're mentioning right now in terms of community. Whenever Alex first started having his first steps in with Katie Asia Town, it was a very unique new concept and everything, and just for the area as well. And when the part that I saw Alex's first element of how much passion he had in community came around the time of the pandemic. At that time, Katie Asia Town had been in its it's been in its green years, been since freshman years and everything. And what a way to start during the time of a pandemic. And Alex, without any second hesitation or thought, pulled up all the resources he had to make sure that all the other restaurant tenants that were neighboring his were to be able to survive. He used his websites to showcase the other restaurant tenants' menus, sold their menus online without taking any of the money from them. He reached out and to try to get more people to come out and, order to go as much as he could. He was able to bring everybody together, whether you knew him or not. It was just the kind of gravitas and the energy that he had with himself. And that was kind of the pull that Terry and I also had with Katie Asia Town. One of our favorite stories that we like to tell is one that Alex brought to us, which was his neighboring tenant, which is Chung Wing Barbecue. The husband, the proprietor of that place, he succumbed to cancer as well, and the wife had to take everything over and learn everything from scratch. And Alex reached out to Terry and I to see if there's anything we could do for that one. And just with that kind of heartfelt moment of community, trying to bring everybody together. Hey, they're going through hard times. Come pay them a visit. You're gonna love their barbecue, their Chinese barbecue, and everything. And for the next month out, there were lines around the corner for Chung Wing Barbecue. And I remember the first time that Terry and I were able to come join out there during the pandemic to visit Alex at his restaurant and also meet Meow next door. And as soon as Alex translated about who we were, she came over and just tearful, tears in her eyes, hugging both of us. And it was a great moment. It's those kind of memories that you love the most. And Alex, he was a community leader. He was an advocate. He was a person that bridged different people together, as shown with his community, with Fat Eatery and Katie, with the whole Katie foodies and with the whole community out there. He brought everyone together really nicely.
Isabel Proto-Martyr, who's involved with the Have a Nice Day pop-ups and has done some PR work and has even joined us on the Houston Matters a couple of times. Him bringing people together, that reminds me of when, I wanted to go to Heidi Lau. We were talking about it was early pandemic. It wasn't really clear how you made a reservation or got access. It was so you called Alex, he called them because obviously he knew them. They were right down the street from him. And then he joined us for lunch that day. And we got this super premium VIP version of Heidi Lau. Not because, I'm the food writer for Culture Map or anything else. I don't think they gave a damn about that. But we were with Alex Saw Young, and that was good
Exactly.
enough.
The noodle dance was not for us. That was absolutely for Alex. I think.
I mean, you worked with him, as part of his PR team. So, tell us about the Alex that we didn't see. Tell us about
Oh
Alex the business.
man.
Tell us about Alex the businessman who was sort of relentless in being his own best advocate, who earned himself a James Beard semifinalist nomination, who got recognized in the New York Times as an outstanding restaurant in the suburbs. Tell me about that side of Alex.
Oh man. We've worked with Alex for over 5 years now, which is crazy to say.
I feel like we've all, even Alex too, like was continuing to grow and just constantly push himself to be a better business owner, a better team leader. And it wasn't for any accolades or recognition or anything. It was for the people who he served in his restaurant and outside of it. I mean, he was such, God, it's so hard to say any of this without crying, because I think we were so privileged to be able to share and celebrate this Alex that we knew so well, and we could see everything he was doing, but he was never going to be the one to talk about those things himself. You know, he was always working so hard in the background, not just to open another location, but just to make sure that every single experience that someone had at Fat Eatery was the best experience ever. You know, I mean, he was just hospitality in a nutshell. And just, it went beyond that too. Stevie and Terry were talking about stuff he did during the pandemic, and something we learned about too was that he was doing stuff that went beyond just serving people, serving, you know, industry hospitality workers from the restaurant. That was something he was doing in the public eye, but behind the scenes, he was delivering Fat Eatery to seniors and stuff in the community. And one of them came forward and shared. She was like, "Yeah, he was keeping us fed when we couldn't leave our homes and wasn't allowing us to pay for anything." And I think that one moment really epitomized exactly who he was. He just did. You know, it wasn't anything to that he was expecting anything from, and I think that's why it was so easy to celebrate him and work for him and brag about him. He made it very, very easy. His wife shared with us that she asked him what his happiest moment was in his life. He shared that it was when he found out about his James Beard nomination, and that Kim was on the phone with him, sharing the news with him, and he, in a very Alex way, quietly went to his office, closed the door, and then just started crying. You know, like everyone has said, he's had so many different businesses, but Fat Eatery is kind of when everything he's ever worked for came together for him. And every recognition that's come from that is because of his hard work and the heart and the soul that he's poured into it and to the people who are gonna continue to carry that torch. You know, so it's very special to be a part of that for him and for someone to be able to celebrate someone who just deserves it, you know? So seeing this like outpouring of love that's been coming out has been one really hard. But also so frustrating, because I just hope that he knew how much he meant to everyone too. God, I'm really bringing it down here. It's just
Well, let me take the burden off you. Let me
okay,
lift it
thanks.
back up. You know, Felice Sloan, one of our regular co-hosts here. Let me bring you in on this. You know, I remember when we went to Fat Eatery for the first time, and we kind of did so at the invitation of Kimberly Park, who was Alex's publicist, that obviously Isabel has worked with for a long time. And there's always a little bit of skepticism about, you know, I'm going to drive all the way from my house inside the loop out to Katy to try this place. And what is Malaysian food? And what are we doing out here? And it was just fantastic. I mean, everything about that meal, and then every meal after at Fat Eatery. So Felice, let me bring you in. You're our ambassador to Katy and all points west. What did it mean to you as a Katy resident to have a restaurant of that quality in your area?
Yeah, I remember that meal, Eric, and it was so funny because I was excited. I was excited you were coming, and you know, Alex was so, I remember he was kind of nervous, but he was excited that you were there. Then I met him and I was like, "Alex, we're not gonna be able to eat all this food." He's like, "Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Just eat as much as you can." And do you remember he brought us like the entire menu? It was lunchtime. He brought the entire menu because he was just so proud for us to try the food. And I'm like, I never really take food. So I was just like, everything was so good. But from that day on, I would go back all the time. And me and Alex became pretty good friends. And we would just sit there and just like kind of talk about food and what was going on. And he was like, oh, yeah, I met some of your friends from Katy. Like, because I would send people, because I grew up in Katy, I would tell everybody about it. But, you know, some of my favorite memories and my friends were like, oh, he's great. This is my favorite place. But, like, you know, everyone saying he's such a community person. And those times where I just remember going and he would be trying something new, he would kind of tell me about it and like, hey, you want to try it? Or I would go back in and try it. So those things were fun. But like on a personal level, just me personally, if I would go in there and say, you're kind of not like yourself or whatever, he would sit down and talk to me. And I would just kind of talk to him about whatever was going on in my life. And from that point on, whatever, he would send me messages. He would keep up with whatever I had going on outside of the food stuff. And I'm like, that just meant a lot to me because, you know, people, I'm like, this guy has business, family, all these other things. I'm just one person, right? Like, you know, he's friends with a boss and Eric, and he has all these people. And I'm like, how does he have time to send personal emails and DMs to people and keep up what's going on, like, personally in my life and send me a personal congratulations and then, you know, say, hey, keep up the good work. And so, you know, that's just the kind of person he was. And you know, I'm going to miss him a lot. I'm going to miss him a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that you had that kind of personal relationship with him, but that's who he was. I mean, if he felt like you were someone who was in need of a little extra attention, he was going to be the person to give it to you. Thomas Wynn, let me bring you in. You've been a restaurateur. You were one of the founders of Pelle Pelle. Now you're in commercial real estate. You're another one of our Katy ambassadors. So just tell me anything. Talk about anything you want. Tell me anything you want about Alex I. Young.
Man, you know, I'll tell you guys, you know, one of my favorite stories that affected, like Felice was saying, she got to know us on a personal level. You know, obviously my family living in Singa, we ate there all the time. And it actually became my father-in-law's favorite restaurant. The last actually good meal he had when he was going through his cancer, was at Fat Eatery. So when he was going through his cancer treatment, we would always try to motivate him and say, hey, you know, Dad, if you get better, you know, we can go back to Fat. And Alex would always, you know, I'd get him on the phone and Alex would try to give him pep talks and different things like that. But I mean, if you think about it, like how many restaurateurs would do that, right? Like he was probably in the middle of a busy like dinner rush. And, you know, he always, every time we came in, he made my father-in-law feel like special and need. You know, obviously I met Alex as a friend. We started a work relationship, but like Felice was saying, he always got to know you on a personal level. Things that I'll remember about Alex, and I think all of us would kind of share the same memory, is just like what he's built. I mean, you know, in Katy, Fat Erie is typically one of the first places that people like that venture out from Houston try, because it's the place that makes you feel the most welcome when you go out to Katy Asia Town. You're not familiar with it. It's a little foreign to some people, but everything, you know, Alex, everything on the foodie pages is just, he's so welcoming. When you walk in, his staff, I mean, I had dinner there Friday night. I mean, Marvin and Kevin have just been beyond amazing holding down the fort. And
so incredible. I have to butt in too, just to agree right with you, because they're making him proud.
But I think they're doing that because they love him so much. He built that culture. It's not just Marvin and Kevin, the whole staff there, he built relationships with all of them. A lot of them have been there for many, many years. It's hard to find that in the industry, as we all know. And Alex did that. And his staff are just going to bat for him right now. They're doing it Even the PR team, I mean, it's not a transaction. It's they're doing it because there's a lot of love there. You can see it. I was at the visitation today. You could see it in everyone's eyes. It's not work anymore. It was a guy that they loved to be with, that we all develop relationships with. That's why it's really difficult. You know, he was more than just a guy that like hung out at these events. Like, he made you feel seen. He always tried to figure out if he got past the surface and always got to know you, make sure you're okay. And that's kind of how he built his brand and built his culture. And I think we're seeing, evidence of that all the way around, Eric.
Abbas, I want to bring you in. Abbas Danani, the owner of Burger Bodega. You know, I was listening back to the last podcast episode I did with Alex last summer, and we sort of joked that you're the fat eatery super fan. So, you know, I mean, you know, when I went to a fat eatery anniversary party, again, it wasn't because I was invited as the food editor of Culture Map. It was, I came as your guest. So obviously I know that you were pretty close to Alex. He did a collaboration at Burger Bodega with you. Again, just, it's kind of the same question I threw to Thomas. Tell me anything you want about Alex. Tell me one good Alex Ah Young story.
So my relationship with Chef Alex started like through his food, right? Before I even knew him as a person, I knew his food, and I was such a big fan of him because of his food. You know, whether it was, he introduced me to Malaysian food, beef rendang, and then, you know, he spun it off, did a bunch of specials, whether it was oxtail, crawfish, wings, the beef rib he did during quarantine. So the first actual conversation that wasn't just, hi, hello, your food is delicious, chef, was when I went in to have his enchiladas. That was the first time I had a long personal conversation with him. He was one of the first people I ever told about Burger Bodega as an idea. And he had a lot of kind, inspiring, motivational words to say. And that's kind of where our relationship started. He was very inspiring. And then, you know, fast forward, we did a pop-up together. And at the end of the pop-up, you know, my dad's a very, very introverted person. Like, most people who know me, like, from the food community will not know my dad or even ever have talked to him because he's so introverted and just to himself. But Chef Alex made it a point to come talk to my dad. And, you know, I'm not going to go into, like, what they talked about, but he had nothing but nice things to say about me to my dad. So that was a very special moment for me. You know, like, this community that I'm in, it was almost like Chef Alex was the bridge between me, my dad, or whatever you want to say. Fast forward again to a Have a Nice Day pop-up. I was fasting. It was Ramadan. And so I couldn't eat his dumplings. It was I want to say like a shrimp dumpling with caviar on it. And I was super excited. So he's like, hey, you know, without me even asking, without me even like showing any kind of interest, he was like, hey, Abbas, I know you're fasting. Let me save one for you so that you could have this for when you break your fast. And I think that just kind of speaks to the kind of person Chef Alex was.
Yeah.
So just to build on the Have a Nice Day thing, when we were starting Have a Nice Day, it was, you know, really awful things were happening in the Asian community, and we just wanted to like do something good and invite people to our table. That's something we always say. Just provide a way for people to learn about our cultures to people who aren't necessarily familiar but are interested. And I think Alex was a big part of like inspiring me to do Have a Nice Day. I think with like what he was doing with Fat Eatery and what he was doing with Malaysian food, like that food was for everybody, you know. He wanted everyone to know about it, and he was creating food that was special to him in a way that everyone could understand and enjoy. And that's something that'll always stick with me, is just to like just be creating opportunities and food and things to like invite people into your community. And I think that's gonna stay with me forever.
I mean, you say that, and essentially that's what Chris Shepherd told me when I talked to Chris after the news came out that Alex had died. because Chris had just made an episode of Eat Like a Local with Alex and didn't know he was sick. And I didn't know he was sick. And we just sort of stunned on the phone together talking about it. And Chris is like, yeah, he was an advocate for his cuisine. He wanted to share his food with all of Houston, and he made Houston better through his efforts and just made the city a little more fun to eat in. You know, I do want to shift gears just a little bit. Stevie, let me bring you back in, you know, because we do know that Kevin and Marvin, his directors of operation, are working on opening that location in the Woodlands. It's finally getting close. I mean, what are your expectations for what that team is capable of in terms of honoring Alex's legacy and making that place a success? Because I think we all know how important that was to him.
Yeah, of course, they've got some shoes to fill following Alex's legacy, but I think they're doing a phenomenal job as is. The conversations that between myself, Kevin, Marvin, Terry, whenever we have our gatherings, Kevin's always keeping us up to date about what's going on with the new location and all the things that he's trying to do that was in Alex's vision. You know, so he's definitely trying to step up to the plate for that one. And I think it's going to be great for the residents in the Woodlands area and the Tomball Spring area like that. So I have no doubt that they're going to be able to carry out everything that Alex had in mind for his line of sight for that location.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, you want to say anything more about that?
Oh, no, I mean, exactly what Stevie said. And also, I mean, they know that they can count on us anytime, anywhere, any place from now until the end of time to help in any way in all of their endeavors. Huge shoes to fill. That's an understatement. But yeah, they can do it. They have a whole city behind them all the way.
Yeah, you know, I was listening back to that last episode that we did last summer, and his vision for, he was excited about every single aspect of that restaurant, right? That it was physically larger, so they could do, you know, they could do more dim sum, they could add Chinese barbecue, he could do a happy hour. He's like, oh yeah, you know, a boss told me, you know, do a burger on your bar menu. I'm gonna figure out a burger. Nice. For the bar menu.
No, he had so much fun doing that collab, and like the team over there at Fat Eatery, Isabel, Kevin, everybody, they just constantly remind me how much fun he had during that collab. You know, he knew how much the collab meant to me, and you know, to my knowledge, I think he knew about his diagnosis at the time too, and he was still so motivated to do it. Mm-hmm. So that just, again, just speaks to the kind of person that he was.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to say, I have a video of you teaching him how to make a chopped cheese, and it is one of my favorite videos because that was his first time doing something like that. So I thought it was pretty cool that you got to teach him how to do something.
No, just to be in the kitchen with someone like that is a huge, huge honor. And I'm, you know, I'm very grateful that, you know, whatever time I had with Alex, it was very, very special to me.
Well, does anyone else have any final thoughts? I mean, I think we've gone for about half an hour. does anybody have anything else they want to say before I wrap this up?
If I can, I want everybody also to realize, obviously how unselfish Alex was, even with his battle. The people that he came across, Thomas's, was it father-in-law, for example, Kitty next door at Chung Wong with her husband's lost to cancer. Alex was one of the first people to reach out to me when I was going through with my cancer. And just, you know, just like Felice said, he always found time to reach out to other people. So I just want everybody to kind of keep that in mind, preserving his memory, because again, he was an angel. He always found time for everybody. So that's how I'm going to remember him. Love you, Alex.
Something I wanted to share too is, he had such a like a genuine joy for the people around him and such a sense of like gratitude. And I think those are the things that I'm really going to remember the most, like just so grateful for everyone in this chat right now, but everyone's support, every mention, Eric, every time you mentioned him in anything, like that's hanging up in his restaurant, you know. And it wasn't because he was like bragging about it. It's just, he was so proud. He was so proud, and never, it was never something like, oh yeah, like no big deal. It was always a big deal. And I think that's just something I we can all carry with us, is just to continue being as grateful as Alex was. And also he shared, even before he locked down the Woodlands location, that was opening in the Woodlands was his dream. Mm-hmm. And whatever we can do to help carry that legacy and celebrate that location, we should all be ready to do that, because it really, really means so much to him that's going to open soon.
Yeah, Eric, I worked on that with Pierre Yu, and she's right. Like, the Woodlands there was no other place he wanted to open. And he was really proud. He's really excited. And, you know, even originally I said, hey, are you sure you want this Fuddruckers? You know, it's kind of, you know, we even second guessing the real estate. He's like, no, this is, I feel this is the spot. You know, this is going to be the place that allows me to kind of do what I want to do. And I'm confident the Woodlands, they're going to support me. They're going to find me. And I don't think any of us really doubt it. And so now it's just, we're all hands on, like, what can we do to help him achieve his dream? I think that's going to be the final piece for a lot of us. It's like, I think we're going to be able to feel, you know, when this thing is open, we're going to know how happy he would be to be able to see it. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
It's, you can never doubt Alex in anything that he said, because it was his enthusiasm, his passion for each of those things, his attention to detail. He was so confident and so excited about every single project that came along that it was just fun just to go along for the ride at times, whatever, you know. So it's just being able to, I think with him being able to introduce the things that he grew up with, the things that he loved with other people, that's what matters the most with him. The Woodlands, being able to introduce Malaysian cuisine up to that area of Houston, it's going to be an awesome experience for everybody that's going to step inside that new establishment.
Well, again, I think that's a good place to kind of wrap this up. We'll certainly, it's going to be tough to walk into the Woodlands location without Alex there to greet everybody. But at the same time, just the way that he spoke about it, and how excited he was, you know, it has 109 parking spots. You know, I was listening to his old episodes over the weekend. He's like, oh, we could put a trailer there. It'll make our catering easier. Like, you won't have to fight for parking. We can have to go pickup spots now. You won't be blocking anybody in. It's like, he had such a grand vision for that restaurant. And I, as painful as it will be to walk in there and know that he's not there, it'll also be like this incredible moment of joy to see that dream realized and to see Kevin and Marvin kind of fulfilling that legacy and honoring his memory in such a tangible way. So, you know, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Let me just thank everybody. Stevie Vu, Thomas Nguyen, Isabel Proto-Martyr, Abbas Danani, Terry Wong, Felice Sloan. Thank you all for your time. Thank you for doing this on short notice. Thank you for sharing.
Doing this. Yeah, thank you for doing this, Aaron.
Thank you a lot.
Thank you so much.
Well, like I said, it really is my pleasure is the wrong word. It's my obligation, you know, to use this platform and in moments like this to pay tribute to someone that touched so many lives. So again, to the audience, thank you for listening. No lightning round, nothing to plug. You know, I'll be back next week with a much more normal version of What's Eric Eating. So if you made it to the end, thank you for celebrating Alex with us, and I'll see you next week. You were nominated for a James Beard Award in 2022 for Best Chef Texas as a semifinalist. What was that experience like for you?
Wow. When I got a call, I just closed my office door and cried. It was unreal. It was definitely not something that I expected. I'm not saying that. I understand we work hard, but work hard does not mean that we deserve something like this big. And I believe in it tied to my name, although it's a semi-finalist, tied to my name for the rest of my life. This is an accomplishment that I'm very proud of. Yes, I'm always happy about that. Sometimes I thought about it, wow, did it actually happen?